Another place we're dropping the ball, John, Afghanistan that you mentioned. I mean, here we have the poppy crop at record levels, and we're the ones that are supposed to be in there in control.
Nobody's ever been in control of Afghanistan. That's sort of a myth. And it has always been a buffer area between civilizations. There were five guys when I was there who were billionaires by U.S. standards. We call them warlords, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And you take, you know, a U.S. level billionaire and impose it on a society where the income's under $600 a year, and you can imagine the vast power that that they acquire. Yeah, poppies win. I mean, it's just overwhelming.
Why don't we take the crops out?
With what? I mean,
Agent Orange.
Taking down an area the size of Texas, and you know, then what do you do? It destroys the economy. One of the things that were suggested is we use alternative crops. That's one of the key issues. Well, the next best crop is wheat. And without getting into the numbers and all that, the advantage is 50 to 1 poppies to wheat. So this is not hard to figure out.
Income-wise, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I talked to the governor of Nimroz province, which is down in the southwest, and one of the things he told me was that every male who was employed in his province was in the drug trade in one way or another. That's all there was. There was nothing else.
It is the business of the country, isn't
it? And all of us has been. And part of the problem is Afghanistan does not make sense as a country. If you look at the ethnic makeup, for instance, 40% Pashtun, which are the dominant tribe in the area, but mm-hmm. they have more in common with the people in Pakistan than they do with the folks in western Afghanistan. And, of course, a lot of folks don't know, but there are no Pakis. You have Tajiks in Tajikistan, Uzbeks in Uzbekistan, Afghans in Afghanistan. Pakistan is an acronym. A bunch of things that were pieced together. And we try to, gets back to my argument on the nation state. We try to force these things to be things that they're not.
Who's getting their hands greased because of those poppy fields? Anybody there?
Well, that runs up and down the entire food chain in Afghanistan and the surrounding areas. I think there are some individuals who are pretty good guys, but the amount of money is staggering, absolutely staggering. And I'll also put it in play, this is not a problem of the pushers. This is a user problem. The sooner we face that out, we were talking about South America, cocaine is the main problem there. The problem is us. It's not the people who are growing it. And this is where I'm sympathetic, you know, to the Colombians who said, stop shoving it up your nose, we'll stop sending it.
Well, but that's not going to stop. So why don't we legalize it? At least make some money on it.
Amen.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the system is absolutely overwhelmed. We have spent hard dollars in the war on drugs, $500 billion.
And we haven't made a dent.
Have not.
If we legalize it, we control it, crime drops dramatically because you don't have to have these petty robberies for this stuff. People can go in and maybe some kind of clinic and get it administered.
Well, the last figures I saw on that has been some time with it. 80% of crime against property is related to drugs in one way or another. A lot of it, as you said, to provide the folks. And probably 50% of crime against person. So, you take a huge chunk out of that. But also, I argue, you cannot have a war on drugs and a war on terror simultaneously because drugs are the single biggest funder of the terrorism.
Absolutely. And as long as those two go hand in hand, this is never going to stop. It seems like a simple formula, John. Why can't they fix it?
Well, that gets back to our belief systems and values. And no politician would ever stand up and say, you know, we've got to do exactly what you said, even though it's, you know, a blinding flash of the obvious. and say, you know, we have been overwhelmed. Everything we have tried has not worked. You know, we have these massive intercepts. In July, there were three that were hooked in about 3 days. It picked up 20 tons of cocaine off California. Didn't make a dent.
No.
Not a dent. Then we have the Chinese guy in Mexico, pharmaceutical. They arrest this guy, go to his house. Here is $200 million in cash sitting there. Now, fortunately for us, he had already lost $150 million here in Las Vegas.
But again, are you kidding me? $150 million he took on the tables?
Yeah. Well, no. He left on the tables.
Yeah.
He lost.
They must have loved him.
Oh, yeah. Well, that kind of drug dealer we can use. But, you know, just...
He's got to be one of the world's worst gamblers, John.
But the point is, doesn't make a dent. It makes news. It makes headlines. The barometer for me is availability and street price, and it hasn't wavered in 20 to 30 years.
No, the thing to do, I'm not advocating drugs, but is to legalize it and control it.
Well, you're right, and there's a huge difference between advocating drugs, which we're not, and the other is getting it, the problem, into something that can be controlled, because it is beyond control, and throwing more money at it and, you know, wasting our valuable resources of manpower and whatnot is just not going to help.
In the argument that, you know, people who ought not have used it in the first place are going to use it, no, that's not going to happen.
Nonsense. Already happening. Those who want to, I also happen to think you have a right to be stupid, you know,
yeah.
Your personal life.
Well, what's the old saying? You can't fix stupid.